I'm going to ask you if you could turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. And this is actually, this session is intended to be focused on prayer and ministry to each other. And so I'm not going to give like a full-blown sermon. In fact, I'm going to time myself. I'm starting at 8:28. And it's just going to be a very brief teaching on what the Bible instructs us about regarding prayer and ministry towards one another, because that's what we're going to be doing in this session here. And if you want to hear the full-blown sermon, you could hear it from August of last year. You'll hear the first full sermon from James 5. But let me just read from the NLT version, okay? Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders and of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky went down, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Amen. So there's three messages from James 5, 13 through 18 that I'm gonna just quickly instruct on, and then we'll get to praying and ministry towards one another. So the first is pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. That's verses 13 and 14, where James told the church to be devoted in praying, to praying for yourself. And there's two things that James specifically said about praying for yourself. First is pray to God in hard times and pray to God in high times, okay? So all of us as human beings, no matter who we are, every human being in the world will experience times in their lives when it's hard. And there's going to be also times in the life of any human being that lives on earth where they're going to experience high times, things that are going well, things that they're happy about, and things that, just good things that they can appreciate. And in the first part of verse 13, James simply told the church to pray when they were suffering, when they experienced suffering. And that's especially important because in the first century, for those who follow Jesus Christ, they had to go through a lot of suffering. They went through a lot of suffering just as every human being did, but as well they went through suffering because, like in the reality in this world, is when you follow Christ, it will not be the easiest or most comfortable path to take. And therefore, it's a simple thing to be praying during hard times. And I just want to share a written example prayer that's based on the Lord's Prayer. And actually, what I would encourage you to do is use Scripture as a template or a model through which you can pray through. I was talking to somebody during dinner, and he was just sharing about, oh yeah, I have a hard time praying. After like a couple minutes during the prayer time, I'm pretty much done. And I said, one of the things that's really helpful is to pray through Scriptures like Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And just pray through the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And so when you go through hard times, pray through something like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so I trust in your care and your goodness and fairness, even in my suffering. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So may this suffering be for your glory, either in my healing or in my patience. And give us this day our daily bread. So God, may you bring resolution in Jesus' name and provide me with inner strength while I wait for that resolution. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. So God, your salvation through the cross gives me proper perspective on the bad things that happen in my life. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So help me to trust and obey and to run to you even when I fail and struggle. Amen. So that's a prayer, an example of a prayer in hard times. In verse 13b then, James instructed the church to praise God when experiencing good things, good cheer. Everyone is going to experience high times in their lives as well. And it's actually important for us in those high times when we're full of happiness and we're full of triumphs to lift up our praise as a proper response to the Lord. So here's another example when praying through the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. You can say something like this: Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. So I thank you for your care and your undeserved goodness at this time in my life when I'm feeling your goodness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may my happiness be for your glory, supplying me through inevitable seasons of dryness that will come. Give us this day our daily bread. And what I need is nothing more, lest I love or trust in anything other than more than you, anything else more than you. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Your salvation through the cross gives proper life, light on even the good things that happen in my life. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. So help me to not love the gifts more than the giver or anything else good and perfect. Amen. In verse 14, James also said to call on the elders to pray over you when you are sick. So in this situation, James gives a slightly different instruction in verse 14. So another translation, he said, call for the elders of the church. So call for the elders of the church when you're sick. And, you know, just like everyone experiences hard times in their lives and everyone experiences high times in their lives, everyone experiences sickness in their lives as well. Just nobody wants to get the coronavirus. We'll pray for that. But sickness happens to Christians just the same as any other human being on the planet. And what I want you to notice here first is that James tells believers to call for the elders of the church. James actually offers a lot of other information that's helpful for disciples of Jesus Christ in verse 14. And I want to just highlight a couple things that I want you to remember, especially now. It's that verse 14 says something like this. You know, when you're not alone, when you're sick, when you're going through struggles, there's actually the church, and the church is with you. And this spiritual family wants to pray for you, wants to care for you. Also, specifically, James says, you have people. You know that there are people in your lives, the elders of the church, that are spiritually shepherding you and caring about you. And then he talks about anointing oil, and that might sound a little bit normal for some of you or confusing for some of you, but anointing someone with oil isn't magical, okay? So it's not something that, it's like an important ingredient or critical ingredient for successful prayers for people who are sick. It's just a tangible substance that goes along with praying that reinforces for people that same message, that we are praying for you. And this actually is a real part of the solution when we pray for people who are sick. You know, so pray for yourself and seek out prayer from other people as well. That's what we want to allocate this time for. Spend some time. If you need more time to process and pray, go ahead and do that in this time that we're going to have this evening. We want you to have this time. We know this time is important for you and God to reconnect and to talk things out. And if, you know, you're like looking at somebody, you're like, I want to pray with that person, but they're like praying by themselves and they haven't moved for a while, but they're kind of moving because you know they're not sleeping or something, then let them be, okay? Let them have some time with the Lord. If they're like snoring or something, then you can wake them up and say, hey, let's pray together, okay? Second thing besides pray for yourself is pray for others. And James told the church in verses 15 to 16a to be devoted to praying for each other. And so there's this prayer ministry that all of us have. And that leads, when we pray for people, it leads to God's redeeming work in others' lives. It leads to God's restoring work in other people's lives. And so, you know, what James does, and I don't have time to like go into all the differences between how you pray for the sick and how that leads to forgiveness of sins, but he basically intertwines his language together. Issues of physical sickness, like having a cold, and spiritual sickness, which is, he's talking about sin, okay? And at first, he's talking about praying for people who are physically sick, and that God does have the ability to heal people who are sick. And part of our prayer ministry as believers in Christ is we can lift up prayers of faith for people who are sick, and believing that God can and sometimes raises up people back to health. But let me just say this important thing, which is that sometimes God heals people through those supernatural means, but sometimes God may not heal people as well. It doesn't have to do with a deficient or defective faith, or not necessarily having to do with maybe a particular sin in that person's life. It might just be God's sovereign will. And that's something important that we want to teach from here. And a person's prayer ministry, that's how we serve one another by praying for each other, may lead to someone recovering from sickness, but even greater, which I think is James's point, is that a person's prayer ministry to another who is still lost in their sins can actually lead to their redemption, can actually lead to that person's restoration. And so second, in these verses, discipling one another includes, one, confessing to each other, and two, praying for each other. That's 16a. So verse 16 kind of goes deeper into the importance of praying for one another. Not just elders praying for sick people, but for church members praying for each other. And there's a clear shift that James makes here when he talks about sickness, now talking about dealing with sin in people's lives. You know, I think this presents a special dynamic in the spiritual family that's unique, that's special between brothers and sisters in Christ. It's this idea of confessing to one another our sins and praying for one another. Sometimes that makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but that's something we really believe in and we really want to endorse in our churches. The practice of praying includes not just our own relationship with God, but we minister to one another by praying for one another. And James wrote here, therefore, okay? So, like my paraphrase is, therefore, because your sins can be forgiven when we lift up these kinds of prayers of faith, you ought to confess your sins to one another. You ought to pray for each other. And so, James says, first, confess your sins. Now, that's interesting here because he doesn't say confess to God. He's almost assuming that he would confess, that one who follows Christ would confess to God. But there's a really important part of confessing our sins, not just to God, but to other people as well. You know, from a human perspective, it's actually, we don't want to share our sins with others. We want to protect ourselves, right? But when the gospel is working at work in our hearts and we experience the grace of God in our lives, we're able to confess our sins to one another. We confess our weaknesses and our wrongs and our mistakes because it shows us that there's this change of heart, that we can be humble. We can admit these things to one another and we can share those things and be vulnerable and we can encourage one another in the grace of God. We can encourage one another to be like, yeah, you know, I'm struggling with this sin too, and I've been holding on to it, but because you opened up, I'm not going to just open up to you, but I'm going to open this up to God. And that's where we can experience the redemption and restoration that comes from the Lord only. That's how we minister to one another. So he says, pray for one another that you may be healed. And I believe that when we pray for one another, this is an important ministry that we have with each other. So first, pray for yourself. Second, pray for others. Third, pray by faith in Christ. So verse 16b through 18, James told the church to be devoted in prayer by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? What he says in verse 16b, that the prayers of a righteous person, that is a person who is righteous by faith in Christ, has great power. I think this is a crazy teaching if you think about it. And the most important truth about this statement is the thing that catalyzes everything, okay? It is trusting in the work of Jesus Christ to make us righteous and acceptable by God. So when we pray, we're not praying based on our own merit. We're based on the righteousness that is credited to us by Jesus Christ when we believe in Him. And so that's why we can have an audience with the Lord. That's why we can have an audience with the God of the universe. It's because in Romans 3, 24 through 25, it says this, "Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood." So Jesus is the sacrificial substitute for us. He died on the cross for us, and He makes us righteous before God. And so our prayers are not effective because of us or because of somebody else, but because of Christ at work in us and His righteousness given to us on our behalf. And because the Father always listens to the Son, and because we are in the Son, the Father graciously listens to our prayers of faith. What happens is as we pray and minister to one another, our word and prayer ministry leads to this dynamic life of experiencing God in more and more powerful ways. That's what James says in verses 17 and 18. He gives this example of Elijah. And he says that Elijah prayed, and this was a situation in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, where he was confronting King Ahab, probably the wickedest king of Israel, and his wife Jezebel. And as he prayed, James recounts how Elijah prayed and he stopped the rain. And then when Elijah prayed 3 years later again for rain to come, it rained. God answered that prayer. And the thing that James reminds his audience is that Elijah was just a man like us, like you and me. He was a prophet. Yes, he was somebody that had a special role in the redemptive plan of God. But he was a human being, flesh and bones like you and me. But even though he was limited, he was feeble, he was weak, what this highlights is that the endeavor of prayer highlights both our weakness and our strength. When we pray, we acknowledge that we are limited. We acknowledge that we're finite. We acknowledge that we need God. When we ask for prayer from others, we're acknowledging that we need help from God as well. But also prayer highlights a strength or maybe even a gift, because we are uniquely created to be in that kind of intimate relationship with God that prayer affords, that prayer creates. And that's what we want to nurture and cultivate, is both glorying in our weaknesses, but also glorying in the privilege and the strength that God gives us when we draw near to Him. And that's something that, by God's sovereignty, He's been highlighting from the first two sessions. And we want to continue that in our prayers now. So let's pray. Amen?